welcome to the Coach LaLisa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am LaLisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach LaLisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website, www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/LaLisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach LaLisa J. Williams.
Good morning, and welcome to the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, you have tuned in to morning motivation, coaching, empowerment, inspiration every morning, Monday through Friday, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, we have a treat for you today. We are carrying out part three of a four-part series. It's been going down every Monday, starting with the first Monday of this month, which was February the 7th. So if you missed the archives, if you missed the show, you can tune in to the archives so that you don't miss one piece of this series. It is the series presented by film director, filmmaker. He also is a coach to actors and actresses, has worked with the likes of Frank Sinatra, Greg Norris, and so many others. I'm telling you, this man has worked and studied all types of people in the movie business. He's produced several movies himself. He's made several films. You don't want to miss his episode today. He will be on in just a minute. His subject he's dealing with, living the James Bond lifestyle. I'm telling you, he has an audio book. You can get a copy of that. He can tell you more about where to get that copy. He has several websites on the internet, so he has worldwide presence. He was here a couple of Mondays ago and last Monday giving us the 21 secrets to the Bond lifestyle. And without further ado, I present to some and introduce to others Mr. Paul Kiriazzi. Welcome back, Paul. How are you?
Doing fine, Coach. 9 o'clock at night here in Tokyo, Japan, and you're just waking
up.
Wow.
Oh, my God. That is so cool. So good morning to some and good night to others. Awesome. For those of you who are in the Tokyo, Japan time zone, don't go to bed just yet. Stay tuned for this next hour and be empowered, be motivated. And so I'm going to get out of the way. Just want to wish everyone a happy President's Day for those who are celebrating that. I know all of the U.S. is celebrating today. But yes, and on the East Coast, we're also celebrating the snow. Okay, so Paul, Do What You Do Best, and Tell Us All About It, Part 3 of Living the James Bond Lifestyle. So take it away.
Okay, thank you, Coach. And Part 3 is Dating and Relationships for Bond Guys and Girls. Of course, this was 12 years ago. This was all set up for information for men, but women have been using it, and I've been getting lots of emails and talks in person from women who have been using this. So when these techniques are for men only, you women listening can use this for advice. Everybody seeks advice on their dating or their marriages, and in fact, this information has saved a couple of marriages, according to some men that have written me. It's certainly saved some men their relationships with their girlfriends by putting some of these techniques into action. So we got a lot to do on this. It's a wide subject, but we have some easy techniques, and then we have some more deeper techniques. Now here's one for men and women, and particularly me being shy. But men and women check each other out. Could be at the mall or on the train or in a restaurant. And you know, when you're looking at somebody and really looking at somebody and who you find interesting or attractive, and then suddenly they look at you and you go, "Whoa," and you jerk your eyes away. Okay, from now on, don't jerk your eyes away, because it makes you feel uncomfortable. And it's like, oh, they saw me checking the person out. It's like, oh, I'm some kind of a peeping Tom or lecher. So what you do, be a little James Bond cool. Somebody sees you checking them out, just move your eyes away. You can might have a little half smile. Yes, I found you interesting. I was looking at you, but just kind of move your eyes away. You don't want to keep staring, because that's almost like a stalking thing. But just kind of move your eyes away. So that's some advice I learned that really helped me out, because I look at the attractive women on the train, and sometimes they'll look, and I'll just have to just slowly move my eyes away. Okay, now here's something for men and women. It's very interesting. It's a very deep subconscious thing. Remember when you felt completely loved, 100%, it just came over you. That person just loves me. Well, there's four ways that both men and women now feel completely loved. And it's been programmed deep in our subconscious minds since we were children, but we don't even know it. And here's the way. Now, one is words. Maybe when you're a child, your mother said, oh, you're so good, or you're so nice, or the father said, oh, you really helped me on this, and you did a good job. And maybe you're 5 years old, and you're programmed, mom or dad or both really love me because they said, they said so. So you're programmed that words equal love. And then when you get older, somebody says the right words to you or speaks, and you say, oh, I feel completely loved. Now, the second way is touch, non-romantic. Maybe the girl's, the mother was combing the hair, or the father taps the son on the shoulder, and, or the hug. And we get a lot more of these than, say, the words. So now we're programmed that the non-romantic touch that makes us feel completely loved. The third one is gifts. Now, maybe when your father's on a trip or parents on a trip, they bring you a gift, or father goes on a business thing, or he out at night and he comes back, brings you a gift, or just home from work, and that could be at age 3 or even age 2, and you're programmed gifts equal love. And then you become an adult, and somebody gives you a gift. You go, oh, boy, that's so nice. You have this nice, warm feeling. And the fourth and last one is to be taken someplace. Your parents take you to amusement park, or they take you to the movies, or the mother takes the girl shopping, and you're just, when you have been taken someplace, when you're a child, you program that is 100% love. So now you're an adult. So yeah, it's kind of fun. You kind of think, well, which one am I? And I asked a lot of women that, and it's interesting that to be taken someplace seems like the ones the women I've talked to, 80% of them say taken, to be taken someplace. So that's that fits right in with the dating. And what you do is for your boyfriend or girlfriend or husband and wife, just do all of them, do all four, you know, just cover all the bases, and then you might find out which one of the four is the more deeper for your boyfriend or girlfriend. So that's pretty interesting subconscious thing. Now here's a technique, very important. Single people, I've given this advice, but I've developed this for me when I was single and shy and wanted to ask somebody out. Now, what if you're at work, so you see some new person, or you're in a big company, and there's a new person you're attracted to, but you don't know. You don't know the person. And or it may be, a restaurant you frequent, and there's somebody working there, and you just don't know how to approach that person. And to ask somebody on a date, would you like to go to dinner? It's like there's romance, right? You know, it's like, you know, you want to, it's like, well, let's go to dinner. Then the subject is like, oh, he's asking me out, you know, for the woman, are we going to be a couple? Do I like him? There's always that when you ask somebody else, especially to dinner, it has, you know, romantic thing. Use what I call the amazing ticket technique. And this is very exciting. In fact, you'll see on my Facebook page, one of my James Bond lifestyle agents, I call them agents, not fans, he was all excited because he used the ticket technique. And I've advised women in Japan, they're shy to ask men out that at their work. I remember one girl was working at a coffee shop with a guy, and she'd been waiting for him to make a move, and nothing happened for 3 months. And she used this. What you do, get some tickets to hopefully a really cool concert. And I did that when I was single. They had a concert hall, San Francisco, and they would list 3 months in advance the acts that would come there. And I'd find something really good, and I'd buy tickets. And two things, it pushed me to find somebody to go out with, and it made it easier. So what you do, you approach the person. Now, men, it's a little different here, because if the woman's a stranger, we have to assume that she has a boyfriend, and he's as big as Odd Job in Goldfinger, and he can crush a golf ball with his bare hands like he did. So you're going to have to assume that, so don't take anything for granted. But if you have the tickets, you walk up and you say, hi, I frequent this restaurant, or we work together, and I got these tickets to see Tom Jones. He's going to be here in 2 weeks, on February 3rd, and I was wondering, would you like to come with me? Now, see what happens here. We're not talking dinner. We're not talking romance. I just got these tickets. So now the woman can say, you talk about, oh, Tom Jones. Oh, yeah, I like him. You talk about the event. Oh, when is it? And there's none of this, are we compatible? Is this romance? Are we going to dinner? So this ticket technique has worked time and time again for men and women. And it's kind of the shy person's way of asking somebody out. If the person is a complete stranger and they already have a boyfriend or girlfriend, they'll tell you. And then that's cool, no problem. At least you didn't. Everybody waits months and months and months with suspense. At least you get it over with, There's that joke that Groucho Marx, George Burns, who was 90 years old, and he says, when a woman says no to me now, it's a relief. So you can use that little joke. But at least you got it over with, and you can use the tickets for somebody else. Or maybe, like Cameron Diaz in Charlie's Angels, the guy handed her tickets. She didn't even look for what they are, for what the tickets were for. And she says, tickets, I love tickets. So that's a little fun thing on that. So that's the amazing ticket technique, and it really has worked. Now, in high school, the girls are always talking about this guy's cute and that guy's cute, or he's on the, you know, football team. But I noticed in college it's changed. The girls talk about this guy's fun or he's boring. And I always remember a guy named Carl. I was living in the dormitory in my room, and Carl knocks on my door, and he says, "Paul, I got a date tonight. Where do I take her?" And I was flattered because, you know, I always took the guys to movies. We were always going to movies and the revival movie theaters and samurai movies. So he figured I might know a good movie, which I did. And there was a revival theater on Powell Street in San Francisco where they have the cable car. And I happen to know the time. So they're playing To Sir With Love. That's pretty perfect. You know, Sidney Poitier, and it's romantic and touching. Take her to that. It starts at 7 o'clock, I told him. But only see the one movie. There's two movies. Just see one. Okay. Come out of the theater. Walk up a block where you can grab the cable car. Take her for a nice cable car ride down to Fisherman's Wharf. And then get her some clam chowder at one of those places and eat. Walk around, look at the, you know, the arts, the museums, and the shops. And then take the cable car back for a fun ride. And then the trolley car back to the dormitory. So he runs out. He's like, "I gotta go. I've got to write this down." He runs out of the room, and I forgot about it. And the next day, he came back to my room, and he says, "Paul, I did everything you said exactly. She loved it." So, you know, it's an idea of it, instead of hanging around McDonald's, you know, planning a date, planning an entertainment. I learned this from the Elvis Presley movie Viva Las Vegas, where they dance at her college, and then they take a helicopter tour of Lake Mead, and they water ski, and they go shooting shotguns at skeet shooting, and then they go to a cowboy town, and then they continue dancing at night. And so I thought, yeah, a variety date. So, guys, you have to, you know, think about, you know, planning dates. Now, here's the thing. You take the girl out, all these things, and then guys ask, "Well, does she like me for myself or just because I take her to all these cool places?" And the thing is, you take her to the cool places because you want to go to the cool places, and that's who you are. So, you know, it's all mixed. You are that person. So don't get into that old thing of, you know, does she like me for myself? Just don't get into that. That's who you are. And, you know, I always said I have never spent money on a girl. Now, you remember, you know, younger times or high school or college, and, you know, you take a girl on a date and you spend $75, and then the next day your friend said, "Oh, how'd the date go?" "Oh, yeah, I took her to dinner, took her to a concert." "Geez, how much you spend? $70, $100? You know, you spent $100 on her and nothing happened?" You know, and it's like I actually been asked of me that, and my answer is I was spending that money on myself. I wanted to go to that nice, I remember I went to this nice Hawaiian style dinner place in San Francisco at the Fairmont called the Tonga Room for you people in San Francisco, and they have a lake in there, and a raft comes out with Hawaiian singers on the lake, and it's fantastic. And then Frank Sinatra Sr., Big Frank, was performing at that place I mentioned, and I took the girl there. And it was just a date for me that somebody introduced me, because I wanted to see Sinatra, and I wanted to go to that place. And I told my friend, "Who am I going to take, you?" And I spent money on myself. I wanted to go to that Hawaiian-style place. I wanted to go with a woman, not with a guy, and I wanted to go see Frank Sinatra, you know, with a woman. Who am I going to take, you? So you spend money on yourself. Don't get into that. Don't let your friends get into that about, you know, "Oh, you spent that much money on her and nothing happened." Okay, be a little creative. You know, Steve Allen, the comedian, he married Jane Meadows, who's an actress. And on the first date, they were in New York. And the first date, he took her to the planetarium. they had this show, the space, you know, the planetarium, with you go in and you look up at the sky, and they had this special show, and the stars and everything moves. And he took her to the planetarium. So he was driving, and afterwards, and he said, you know, in New York, other guys will take you, he tells her, other guys will take you to Sardi's, or they'll take you to a Broadway play. I took you to the moon. That is cool. That's a true story about Steve Allen and Jane Meadows' first date. So be creative. You know, think about, you know, study what's going on in your area, and be creative. Now, here's something very important. True story in Japan. This woman I know, she was a dental assistant, and she was introduced to a man, and a doctor, in fact, and she was all excited, and she was going to go on the date, and they said, oh, is this guy a possible relationship, serious? Oh, yeah, I happened to meet him at this hospital, and he, you know, we started talking, and then he asked me out, and she was all excited. This guy could be the one. So next time I saw her, I said, well, how did the date go? She said, after 20 minutes, I hated him. I said, what did he do? And she said, well, I asked him, we were walking in the park, and I asked him, what hobbies do you have? And he said, none. So I said, well, what kind of food do you like? And he said, none. Nothing much, nothing special. She asked him a couple more questions, got the same kind of answers. And after about 25 minutes, she said, well, I guess I'll just take the bus home. And he said, yeah, okay. And that was the end of the date. And I told a buddy this story. He was single here in Japan. And I said, hey, if a girl asks you, what's your favorite food? Choose anything, like pizza, and say, pizza, I love pizza. I have to eat pizza every day. And if she says, what's your hobby? Choose anything, you know, stamp collecting. I love stamps. And he said, God, if I say that, the girl will think I'm crazy. And I said, yeah, she'll think you're crazy, but at least not boring. So a couple of days later, he had a first date with a young woman, and they were going to go to a movie. And then she called him and said, instead of us going to eat before the movie, why don't you come to my house and I'll cook you something to eat? And he said, fine. And she said, it'll just be pizza. And he remembered my story, and he said, pizza? I love pizza. And the girl said, oh, really? Oh, really? Oh, that's cool. So, guys, let's have some answers. Don't be, don't be boring. You know, this sounds fundamental, but I've heard so many horror stories like that. Another one in Japan, and this just drive it home. A woman had met this man, and they both liked Sai Baba, this teaching guru, and he had some kind of rose photo, and her nickname was Rose, and there were all these omens. And so the first date, there's a lot of people meet at train stations. That's convenient. So they meet at the train station, and she said, well, what do you want to do? And he said, I don't know. What do you want to do? She said, let's go to a coffee shop. Second date, they meet. And she says to the guy, what do you want to do? He said, I don't know. What do you want to do? She said, well, let's go to a coffee shop. Same thing on the third date. And she finally dropped him. She, you know, and she was ready to be married to this guy and have a spiritual baby. And I told her, yeah, I guess the baby's going to have to be conceived in a coffee shop. But she dropped him, even with all those omens. And we're here in Japan. There's Tokyo Disneyland. There's the IMAX. There's, you know, and there's everything here. And the guy just he just didn't come up with anything to do. So here's the last one I'll tell you. Joe DiMaggio. This is all in my seminar. Joe DiMaggio, the great baseball hero, got married to Marilyn Monroe. At that time, you know, the world's most exciting woman. And after 10 months, she leaves him, and they got divorced. Now, Joe DiMaggio's friend was telling the story where Joe was crying in front of him, on his knees, "Why did Marilyn divorce me?" he said. "Is there another man?" And this is a quote. The friend said, "How could I tell Joe? How could I tell him that she wanted to leave one of America's greatest sports heroes because he was boring? How could I tell a man his ex-wife became his ex because she found him dull?" So, you know, there's another story. So those three stories, guys, be the entertainer. And I'll tell you, that's what saved this one guy's marriage. He said, "I was a couch potato, and I started taking the wife and family out and little things and longer trips." And he said, changed everything. And he said, "My family has a newfound respect for me." And all because he started taking the girls out. Shakira Kane, Michael Kane's wife, they asked her, "Why do you like Michael?" And she said, "He's so much fun. He's always coming up with things to do." So, enough on that. Because this is what I teach, the ultimate secret of women. Now, I know Coach Lisa has a vast majority of women listening, and everybody's got their ears up now. But I stand confident, because over the 12 years, you know, women have written, "Paul, you have hit the nail on the head with this ultimate secret of women." And here it is, and this is all connected to what I've been trying to prove to you. Remember the Cyndi Lauper song? Well, let me digress for a minute. Of course, women want love, respect, and security. Of course, that's first. That's right. Okay. And most men will give them that, love, respect, and security. But what the men forget about is the ultimate secret, and that is the Cyndi Lauper record, "Girls Just Want to Have Fun." Right? That's the secret. And women want to be entertained. They want to look forward to something. Hey, next month we're going to take a trip to here. They want out sudden things of, let's go out. Hey, the list is endless. Girls want to have fun. Of course, the ultimate James Bond is he tells the woman, get your passport. We'll buy. You don't need any baggage. We'll buy what we need on the way. And it's funny because last week or 2 weeks ago, Coach LaLisa was talking about the first time she met her husband, and he was talking about a trip to someplace in South America, and he looked like he could pull it off. So maybe Coach Elisa, her secret thing is to be taken someplace. Maybe that's one of her, that's her deeper, to feel completely loved, to be taken someplace. And she can maybe tell us more of that story and her take on that event after I'm done. But I always remembered that. Okay, now, remember the movie Marty with Ernest Borgnine, and he becomes interested in a young woman, and Marty's mother, who's kind of all of a sudden been programmed by, remember I told you about how people, you know, rag on each other and they'll say negative things, so the mother at that moment got negative and she didn't want to be left alone, and then she told Marty, "Well, you're that girl, she doesn't seem to be so nice, and she's a teacher, and a teacher, that's one step from the street." You know, that was her belief. You shouldn't go with that girl. And Marty's friends, of course, saying, "Hey, Marty, I saw that girl that you were with last night. She was nothing, you know." Then they're all hanging out at the end of the movie. And, "Hey, Marty, what do you want to do?" "I don't know. What do you want to do? You want to go bowling? Nah, I don't want. What do you want to do?" Finally, Marty says, "I had enough of this. You know, I'm going to call that girl." He gets into a phone booth. He says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I had a good time with that girl. You know, you don't like her, that's your business, but I had a good time, and I'm going to take her out some more, and if we have enough good times, I'm going to get on my knees and beg her to marry me." So that movie Marty, it shows you how, you know, friends pull on you. So, make your own decisions. Okay, now you're on a date, right? James Bond says, Hi, my name's Bond, James Bond. Would you like to go dinner? And would you mind if we went Dutch? You know, you pay your half. Doesn't sound right. You know, on a date, who's going to pay? This is for the guys who want to live the James Bond lifestyle, be responsible for the woman, and do it old style, if you will. You pay for the date. Of course, sometimes the woman might say, hey, let me, you know, pick up the tab on this. No, I got it. You say, if she, one time that happened. No, let me, you got tickets to the concert. That was a Lou Rawls concert. And she says, you got tickets to the first date. You got tickets to the concert. I'll pick up the, okay. I said, fine, thank you. So she pushes, but you pick up the date, or the tab, you know, you pick up the check. You pay for the date. You pay for the event. You pay for everything. You know, James Bond lifestyle, if you choose to live it, yes, you're gonna pay. You're gonna be paying out maybe 30% more, I estimate, than if you weren't living the James Bond lifestyle. You're gonna tip properly. You're going to spend more money on books and spend more money on trips. A little more money on clothes. And it's going to cost you maybe 30% more if you didn't live this lifestyle. But by living this lifestyle, upgrading yourself, you'll be able to most likely move up in business, promotions, or your independent business. So don't be afraid to spend money on the right area. You know, I always remember Charles Bronson in the movie The Mechanic. And he said something that really hit me. He said, it takes a special kind of person to pick up the tab for this kind of living. I always remember that. So if you want to live the James Bond lifestyle, be that special person and pick up the tab for that kind of living. You know, it's not always easy to do. Anytime you're upgrading your life, it's going to take some money, but be that special kind of person. You know, when you start dating, some guys go crazy with that, picking up the tab and get a new girlfriend. And the guys, it's natural. I'm that way too. You want to give a girl a necklace or a ring. You know that Elvis Presley song, "Wear my ring around your neck to tell the world you're mine by heck." You know, there's something we want to put our brand on the girl. So, be careful. None of this $2,000 or $3,000 things. You know, they got nice amethysts and different types of stones for rings or necklaces. So, you know, some relationships end, especially when you're dating, and you don't want to put out large amount of money on doing that. Now, you know, when used to be with a negative guy, business, and he's not around anymore, thank God. But every place we went, a restaurant, you know, it'd be like, I don't like this place. It was always this whining thing. And I remembered George Lazenby in On Her Majesty's Secret Service. And in the very beginning, first 15 minutes, the manager of the hotel shows him his really cool room with the balcony over the pool, and Bond said, this will do me nicely. And I thought, that sounds so cool. It's such the opposite of somebody saying, yeah, I don't like this place. And it's kind of like he puts his blessing on the place. So when you go to a restaurant, you get a table, you just casually, this is a good table. Oh, this is nice. Oh, when you're traveling, the relationship continues and you travel and you walk into the room, you say, this is nice. So bless the room with that. This will do us nicely. It's a blessing, and it picks up the ears of the person you're with and saying, yeah, this is cool. Even if you get, you might be, on the road and you might stop at some lower class diner and you just kind of walk in, you say, hey, this is very cowboy. Should be fun for a quick meal. So remember that blessing. The bond agents guys, they really like that. This will do me nicely. When you're on a date with a woman, Now, Bond's big problem with women. James Bond's got a big problem. If you watch the movies, he keeps losing them. They keep getting knocked off, killed by the villain. So I kind of use this on take care of the woman on the date, especially on a trip. Now, nothing big, bad's going to happen, but it's always, fingers in a door that's being closed, a car door, falling down on the, getting off the ski lift, even kissing in the car and you're coming out of a parking lot and you hit somebody. I know that happened to somebody. So watch out the safety, especially crossing the streets. Protect the woman. That the safety matter. Don't lose your Bond girl out on the field. Out in the field. And when you're on one of those trips, it might be a first trip with the relationship has deepened and you're going to take a first trip to some place, maybe a resort or amusement park, hotel, casino, whatever. Really, if you can do it, get the girl her separate room. Even if later you're going to stay in the same rooms or an adjoining suite, she gets her own restroom, and that's cool for the first trip. Especially if you haven't been together, something might happen, something might not happen. Get her her own room. I remember hearing that about Frank Sinatra doing that. On first trips with women, and the women have mentioned that in interviews. So, that's something. And there's a on Her Majesty's not that movie. You Only Live Twice. Bond gets married, kind of married to this Japanese secret agent woman, and they're undercover, so to speak. And they're eating oysters, and he said, well, we'll sleep over here. She says, no, we're going to sleep in, separate areas. And so he looks at the oysters he's eating. He pushes them away, and he says, well, I guess I won't be needing these. And oysters help a man's virility, and which they have zinc in them, by the way. So you men, you can take 30 milligrams of zinc, which is the same as oysters, 30 milligrams a day. But the point is, never force intimacy. It's really bad. You can get into a lot of bad feelings by doing that. And George Hamilton, the actor George Hamilton, had a reputation for being a playboy. But here's what George Hamilton says, and I quote, "I've never forced the issue of sexual involvement. Women make that decision. And as long as you make them feel comfortable, you'll arrive there quicker than guys breathing down their neck," unquote. So, don't push it no matter what you've been expecting. Maybe the next trip, or maybe when you get back to your hometown, it'll happen or not. But, it's good advice from a friend one time. The girl that wants to break up or doesn't want to see you or, didn't hit it off, and if you don't, he said, if you don't go crazy on them, you don't stalk them or you don't make a scene or whatever, and respect that she doesn't want to see you, then you have a good chance that she'll call back. And it's happened, she'll call back, and a month later, 2 months later, it's better than acting like a jerk and yell that make a scene or whatever or cry, just take it like a man, and she might call back. They have called back for many people. Now, on these dates that we talked about, well-edited date, don't let the date dry. You're going to plan this date, movie, concert, whatever. You've all been out with the guys or out with a group, and it's like one more drink or one more nightclub or one more this. And some guy kept me in a bowling alley because I didn't take my own car with this party. Hey, let's keep bowling. One more game. Now let's play. Oh, it just went on and on. 3 a.m. Always take your own car, by the way. The date has to end. Make a nice ending. Don't let it drag on to a boring conclusion. Have it end nicely, just like a movie. Good ending. Now you're on a date, men and women. Say you're on a first date, and you're eating dinner with the person. Okay, you didn't do the ticket techniques. You're eating dinner, and you're thinking to yourself, well, this person doesn't have this quality, doesn't have that quality. What am I doing with him? What am I doing with her? Okay, now that's not the way to think. If you make the decision that this is not the person that you're going to be interested in or want to date again or get involved in, don't shut down. What you should do, and this comes from my mentor, such good advice, act like the person is the one. Now, you don't run off and get married, of course, but you're open in your discussion. Act like the person is the one. Find out what the person wants to do in life and have some meaningful conversation. Maybe it's just going to be tonight date, then make the most of it. Use it as a practice date and be open in your communication. Don't just shut off because, you ask yourself, what am I doing with this person on this date? Make the best of it. The date's going to end. Have the meal. Do the event. Have some talking. And if you're not interested in the person, you can relax, right? And if you're relaxed, you can be open in your communication. Because remember, and you can't change another person. You know, a smoker's going to smoke. A drinker's going to drink. And if that's not good for you, you can't change them. You saw the movie Casino, where the Robert De Niro character, it's a true story, and I read that. You know, the real story, and the Robert De Niro character thinks he can change the other woman, but played by Sharon Stone. And I remember the real Robert De Niro person said, I didn't drink and I didn't know anything about alcoholism. You know, I thought, oh, I can stop her drinking in a couple of weeks. Well, we're all in a state of growth. You know, you can't change the other person. They can't change you. So, if they don't have what you want or the right qualities, then you're going to have to cross them off your list, you know, and you have to be serious about that. At one point, one of the other person is going to want more. They're going to want to step up the relationship, and you're going to want, tell them, you know, I want a more in-depth relationship, or maybe it'll go naturally into that. But if it doesn't, if the other person's not interested, no matter how good they look to you, physically and mentally, how good they look, you got to cross them off your list. I know it's hard to do. It's hard to do for me because you dream and you dream, but, you waste a lot of time. So now here's something very interesting. Richard Gere, Priscilla Presley, Mike Tyson, they all have something in common. Now, there's a Groucho Marx joke who says, I always date two girls at a time because I hate to see a girl walk home alone. Okay, that's a joke. But, Priscilla Presley in her, I read a lot of stuff, read a lot of books to learn these things. But Priscilla Presley once stayed overnight. She was on a first date with Richard Gere. And in her words, she stayed overnight. With Richard Gere, and she liked it, and she liked him, and everything was fine, and he never called her again. She was so angry, she said, I want her to kill him. Okay, so guys, if you're sharing the bed for for that first time, and she goes home, give her a call the next day, and just say, hey, just wanted to, say hello, whatever. Or, hey, do you want to go get some lunch? Do not call. That very serious prison thing that happened with Mike Tyson, and I followed that. And of course, it's a very serious thing, and the bad thing did happen. But the girl did not call the police until 2 days later, and what happened was Mike Tyson told her to, okay, go downstairs and my driver will take you home. He didn't even take her home, and he didn't call her for 2 days. And that's when she felt, really bad, and it proceeded. And, now she should have called, of course, because that was a very serious crime. But there's proof again you know, you should call the woman and take her out to, and I give at least one more time. So speaking of calling, here's a nice little trick if the girl's driving home on her own after a date, she's leaving your house or whatever, leaving the concert or your separate cars, tell her, call me when you get home. Okay, and you say, well, why should she do that? I know she's going to call me. But, you know, they feel good about it. And all it is, you know, you're at your house, she calls you, she says, I got back home. You say, oh, great, okay. And we'll talk later. That's just a nice thing to do. Just what your mother said, you know, call me when you get to your dorm room. If the girl goes home by taxi, here is a good technique. You look into the taxi, they got their license, and you say, hey, number 57302, that's the same as my phone number. Okay, now the taxi guy will know you know his number, right? And more important, the girl will know you're looking out for her. So you can best believe that taxi driver will make sure she gets home with some good treatment. You know, I had that same friend again. He's sort of the anti-James Bond lifestyle, but he was very selfish, never gave anything to anybody, and then he started dating this girl. He started giving her all kinds of gifts. Well, she wised up to it. She broke it off with the guy because he didn't have a giving aura. You know, you can't just give to the person and the woman or even the girl to the man. You can't just give to the person that you want. You know, you have to give to everybody. You know, you got to give to the kids. You got to give to the 80-year-old ladies. You got to be a giver and have that aura. And you know, there's a movie the greatest way to attract the other person. It's the movie Groundhog Day, and Bill Murray keeps reliving the same day over and over. And he likes Andy McDowell, the girl. And he keeps using little tricks and finds out things about her, and then he tries to pretend that you're an art student, yeah, me too. And he tries to do all these little conniving tricks, and it just doesn't work. So finally he stops chasing her, and he starts developing himself, and he starts helping people, if you remember the movie. It's a great movie, see Groundhog Day. But then he has this giving attitude, and then she finally starts getting interested into him because everybody's praising him. And so, and they say, hey, you helped me so much, and he learned to play the piano, and he learned to ice cut, and he became this cool person. And then the girl was attracted. So that's the best way to get the girl, you know, and for women, that's the best way to get the guy, because you're doing things, you're out there, you're growing, you're giving, you're in the community. So that's the best way to attract somebody. Now, when you're traveling with a woman, it seems like, yeah, you're in a very nice restaurant. And, you know, very nice restrooms there. And then you leave and you get in the car. And 15 minutes later, the woman says, I need the restroom. And you're out in the field. You know, you're driving somewhere. Happens all the time. That goes with the territory, men. She's going to want a restroom. Look, don't stop at a gas station. Don't stop at one of those, rest stops. You know, on Highway 5 going down the middle of California, there's every 15 minutes, there's a group of, restaurants. And stop at a restaurant, at least a McDonald's, because their restrooms are clean. And you don't even have to buy something. If you go to another restaurant, order a cup of coffee, and she can use the restrooms. So give her a good restroom, guys. Don't stop at those truck stops and those rest stops. Okay, there's a lot of things in this James Bond lifestyle, dating techniques. So I'm trying to give you the important ones. It's interesting. Coach Lisa mentioned this, I think it was just last week, about men shouldn't think women have to be one way. I remember Dudley Moore, the actor, what was that famous, Arthur, famous for that movie and the movie 10. And his girlfriend, he was, I think 5'4", was he, something like that. And he and his girlfriend was Susan Anton. I think she's almost 6 feet. And the people would say, how did he get her? And they, you know, it's like, you know, they, everybody expects couples to match. Well, they don't have to match, but everybody would. And then they asked Susan Anton, why do you like Dudley more? And she said, I quote, Dudley had no preconceived idea of what a woman should be, unquote. Well, what does that mean? Well, he didn't expect her to, you know, be a dishwasher or a cook, or didn't expect, he just expected her to be Susan Anton. He didn't have any rules about what she should do or what she should not do, or if she should cook or not cook. Okay. So, guys, don't put your preconceived program notions on, you know, what the girl is supposed to. Let her be herself. Give you a final story. One of my friends had a new girlfriend. He says, Paul, she calls me every morning when I'm driving to work, and it's driving me crazy. So I said, well, how long does she talk? You know, this cell phone. And he said, well, 5 minutes. I said, you got that beautiful new girlfriend, and you're worried about 5 minutes? And I told him the story about this. It was a TV movie where this Chinese detective, 500 years ago, when they had three wives. He had three wives, and he's trying to solve this problem in the monastery, and wife number two says, come, wife number three is sick. He says, well, attend her. I'm too busy. No, please come. And he says, I'm doing on this case. Oh, please come. So he doesn't want to go, but he goes. And when he walks in the room, everything, he changes. He just says, what's this I hear? I hear you're sick. Could you? Oh, I hope you get better. I can't concentrate. And, you know, I can't work. And she says, oh, thank you. I'll get well as soon as possible. Okay, I'll leave you alone, he says. Okay. And he goes out, closes the door, and he tells his assistant, okay, let's get back on the job. I told that story, and finally the guy realized, yeah, there's nothing wrong with a five-minute phone call. So men, you know, change the hat, you know. You put on your boyfriend hat, you know, and talk to her. Sure, we're all got things to do. We're going to work. You know, all of us, we're not just us. We have many relationships. We are a son, or we are a daughter. We are a boyfriend, or we are a girlfriend. We are a husband. We are a wife. We are a sister. We are a coworker. We have lots of hats. And somebody said, I can't handle all this stuff. Change the hat. You know, you just change the hat. And, you know, you're talking with your parents and you're wearing the sun hat, and then you got a business call and you put on the business hat. Change the hats. Okay, to wrap it up, there's two things. Tyrone Power, Gene Hackman, the actor, somebody got Tyrone Power on the phone and said, here, talk to Tyrone Power. And Gene was a young actor, and he said, well, I don't know what to say. So he said, Mr. Power, what advice do you have to give me for my acting career? And Tyrone said, it's how you handle your women. That's all he said. I thought, what's that got to do with acting? But later, studying and thinking about it, all of us, men and women, if we get into a bad relationship, not that we're handling, but it's how we handle ourselves with our relationships, because some relationships can burn up a lot of energy, and, you know, some relationships can, you know, absolutely, you know, destroy us, destroy a business. So let's keep that in mind. Now, the final story is James Bond. You know, Pierce Brosnan, he was up for the part of James Bond after Roger Moore retired, but he was doing Remington Steele, and he didn't get it, and so it went to Timothy Dalton. And for years they plagued him, the press. How was it losing James Bond? How was it losing him? It was horrible for him, because that's all they asked. Then they didn't want Timothy Dalton after two movies, and Pierce Brosnan was free. He got the role of James Bond. And Pierce Brosnan says, when he got the part of Bond, he said, how's it feel to get Bond now that you were turned down, you know, 8 years ago? And Brosnan says, thank God I didn't get the part the first time. When I look at old photos of myself, I was too young at the age of 33, too skinny, with too much hair. You know, so I always use this, story illustrates God's delays are not God's denials. There's a right, you know, there's a right timing for you. Sometimes the answer is no, and you don't want it to be no, especially in a relationship. You're so in love with that woman, and you say, just that her, that's the best for me, and the universal energy, God, whatever you want to call it, says no, and then you find out later there was somebody better for you. And I know myself, a couple of relationships, if they had gone on, even though I wanted them desperately, I'd be in big trouble now. Even a couple of film projects I wanted desperately, I didn't get them, and the people that were involved with them had big legal problems. So remember Kiva Renee's radio show, she talked about that trust in God, and I thought of that. So, you know, the universal energy can plan things even better than you can. And there's a right timing. So just like Pierce Brosnan says, yeah, I was too young, too skinny, and I had too much hair. Now I'm ready to be James Bond. Okay, next week we'll wrap up this. I have a lot to tell you, other subjects, and to find out more about this and read, everything's free on Facebook. Search James Bond Lifestyle Seminar. Just type in the words James Bond Lifestyle and the seminar drop-down box will come up. Click over there. There's about 300 of us, men and women. We're talking about everything from money clips to dating. And so I'll see you over there. Yeah. Coach Lalisa, thank you. I'll give you back the control.
Okay, dokie. Awesome. That was great. Talking about more keys for living the James Bond lifestyle. So that is... We are out of time, so we thank those who tuned in this morning. I know you got some good tips on how to do that, and we'll see you back here next Monday, Paul, for part 4. We can't wait. And for anyone that missed any of it, you can go to the archives right here on blogtalkradio.com/CoachLalisa. And now, guess what, Paul? I get to go shovel snow. And so all of those on the Northeast, we get to go shovel snow now. But it's been great. It's been real. And you got to keep moving on up. So we'll see you back here. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. We have someone coming in to talk about taxes, how to get our business taxes in order. Don't miss it right here on the Coach Lalisa Show.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great, it's been real, it's been awesome, and you gotta keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move, and this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.